Okay, again, my name is Brian, and I will be the moderator of today's call. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll be monitoring that account throughout the hour if you have any questions or problems logging into the notes. You should have received a reminder email about an hour ago covering all this information, but in case you didn't receive that, you can just point your web browser directly to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log, and we will ask you to refresh that page several times throughout the clinic as we add some data and other notes. There's also near the bottom of that page a list of URL number 3 includes some of our team member bios. Today's primary presenter will be Jalali Hartman, and at this time I'd like to hand over the call to him.
Thanks, Brian. I guess we're ready to get started. There's if everyone could just actually make sure they have the mecgroups.com/the_research_log pulled up, and actually to save time, you download link number 2, which is the spreadsheet tool that we're going to be going over in a little bit. That would be helpful. Topic of this brief is essentially how to profit from inbound customer service calls. And with the holiday season coming up, I think it's sort of a timely topic. Very often as retailers and as publishers, we look at customer service as purely an expense. We do a lot of things to prevent people from using the phone or contacting us. This brief is actually based around an experiment we did several months ago with a publisher who had several sites, primarily subscription sites, and they were experiencing some heavy customer service loads, and we decided to go in and actually take a look at their customer service and see if there was any way that we could not only improve the overall customer experience in terms of people calling in and writing in, but also take it from an expense, turn it into a profit center. In other words, use those customer service inquiries to generate additional sales and save the company money and make the company additional money. So before I get into the brief, I want to sort of give an overview of what the product was or the products and sort of how we set this up, just so everyone understands exactly what we're talking about here. So the company that we were working with was they saw a variety of different subscription products. So it's software that you can purchase online, and they're either one-time fee or they're a recurring monthly fee, and they're all sort of related. They're not the same products, but they would appeal to the same type of customer. What we did, the way that we started this off, is we actually went down, visited with this company and observed their call center. They had I believe it was a five-person call center, so relatively small call center, but primarily dedicated, the customer service agents there are primarily dedicated to solving problems, so issuing refunds, helping to access their account and use the software that they're selling, so on. And traditionally, this company had made it very difficult for someone to find their phone number and actually get in touch with them, simply because the idea was much easier just to sort of process questions via email and through their website and direct them to FAQ pages on their website. So what we did was we came in and we actually observed. For the first half of the day, we watched how these reps handled the calls, what types of calls were coming in, sort of how they were spending their time. And the second thing that we did is we put in place a one-week contest as sort of a test, and we actually, in this case, we framed a $100 bill and put it up on the wall and created a system by which these reps, who traditionally were 100% service-oriented, no way were they salespeople. We created a contest where over the course of 7 days they had a number of things that they could try to upsell the people while they were also helping them solve their problems. And the topic of this brief is sort of how we, what we learned as we implemented this program. And what we found was that although these people are not salespeople, they had very little training. Just by changing a few things in how they, a few ways in terms of how they interact with the customers, and also giving them the right kind of incentive, we were able to actually generate quite a bit of additional revenue for the company. So this concept of you know, trying to prevent people from calling you is, or getting in touch with you, or trying to prevent that human interaction, would be almost amusing if it wasn't so damaging. We've all seen websites, probably all guilty of this, where we go to almost any length to discourage a user from picking up the phone, or asking a question, or canceling a sale or subscription. We tend to want to prevent people from usually what we do is we direct users to knowledge bases, FAQ pages, or forums. And you know, site owners, I'm almost desperate that the user doesn't tie up one of their customer service agents. And the reason is because obviously customer service calls are seen as an expense that should be minimized. If you have to, one of the powerful things about the web is if you have to interact with the customer, almost defeats the purpose of having an online shopping cart. But this test sort of shows a very different picture, and I think it's important, again, going into the holiday season, to sort of understand what we found. So by providing call center operators with an incentive and the necessary instructions, part of that is key. These people are typically not, it's not something where you need to give them the sort of ammunition to make turn the customer service center around. We were able to save dozens of subscriptions and upsell new services. Bottom line, at the end of our test, the calls received resulted in the generation of additional significant income. And what we found was that by actually encouraging website users to pick up the phone, we were able to increase the profit and increase the revenue of this company. So challenge that we had before the test was this: could we actually generate revenue from inbound customer service calls? Again, these are not order calls. These are not rather than taking an order online, we call. These are pure customer service calls. In most cases, they were customers that had a pretty severe issue, wanted their money back, were somehow disgruntled by the product or service. So prior to the test, each of these reps, again, in this case there were five different reps, they were primarily focused on solving problems and dealing with customer questions and complaints. So the way the test was set up, again, I mentioned before, we came in and together a system and proposed a 7-day test. And over the 7 days, the call center fielded 662 calls. And then again, prior to the test, we conducted a half-day customer service and sales training session with the service reps, and where we focused on changing their role perceptions from problem solvers to customer advocates and salespeople. And it was interesting to see the dynamics. Initially, everyone's reaction was, I'm not a salesperson, I don't want to do this. I don't have any interest in trying to get someone to buy an additional product. What we did was we actually just created real simple scripts for them. So it sort of took the pressure off having to try to sell the customer anything. And I just wanted to go through one of those scripts. So this is an example. A person is calling in, they have a problem. In this case, the product is it's called Net Detective, and it's an online service where you can look up information about people. And so anyway, the script sort of goes like this. So the people call in, and these are the people, again, they're having a problem. They're not calling to order. What we did is, first thing we did is we said, hello, thank you for calling. My name is Tony. Can I get your name? First one, my name is Jim. I say, great, nice to meet you. How can I help you? Person typically the person would say, this product didn't work the way I wanted. I want my money back. That was almost universally the response. So something that they were aware of. There were some for a certain percentage of the people using the product, there were issues with finding the people finding the information you were looking for, and so it was something that was sort of commonplace. So the rep would say, I understand, I'm sorry to hear you're not happy with it. We do offer refunds, so you don't need to worry about that. And that, what we found is that sort of gets people off their guard, gets them calmed down a little bit. Usually the person would say, well, just hurry up, I'm getting ready to reverse the charge, or I'm going to call the credit card company. Rep would say, okay, I understand you're in a hurry, I just need to ask you a few questions so that we can ensure you're able to get your money refunded. And in these few questions, the customer service rep was able to sort of understand what functionality they felt was lacking. So they would ask, first can I ask what it was that you weren't satisfied with? And they would say something along the lines, I did a search and couldn't find anyone or couldn't find the person I was looking for. At that point, they would say, okay, now my records indicate, they'd have the customer service console up, and they say, my records indicate that you have only registered for NetDetective. Did you know that for just a small additional fee, you can upgrade to NetDetective Plus, which has more information? And they would say, no thanks, I just want my money back. Rep would say, okay, not a problem. I'm emailing you instructions right now. But while I have you on the phone, I just wanted you to know that every month we actually update the database and add many thousands of names to the database, and I can go ahead and give you a 2-month extension on your subscription. And that was one example. It was very simple. One example of sort of how, rather than having that person cancel, or even worse, having that person do a chargeback with a credit card company, you were able to keep them on and actually really satisfy what they were looking for over the next period of 2 months. At which point they're very likely to let their subscription. So that's an example of a very simple upsell that we use, and we had a number of other ones, including other products. One was, while I'm processing your refund, can I search your neighborhood for registered sexual offenders? It's free. I just need your zip code and email address. And at which point they would customer service would do the search, and they'd say, wow, according to the records here, there's 23 registered sex offenders living in your zip code, and for an additional $10, I can actually have a report sent to you showing their names and addresses. So that was an example of another upsell. So we put together a number of different things like this, and we trained the reps real briefly. We just basically gave them scripts to use, and we gave them incentive, and we said, came up with a point system. The reason we came up with a point system for each product, there's really four different upsells they had access to. One had a different point system is because we were trying to incentivize reps based on the most profitable upsells. So Brian, if you can go ahead and drop that first table into the notes, and if everyone wants to refresh, we can take a look at that. Okay, so if you refresh, you'll see there's a table in there called Inbound Customer Service Microtest Success Rates. And this is where we were. This was after 7 days. We were pleased with the results on a total of 662 calls. You'll see there's site 1, 2, and 3. There's 2 saved, so basically saved cancellations. There's a free trial, and then there's a full upsell. And each one has a different point system, and each rep basically had a system by which they could keep track of how many upsells or saves they had throughout the course of the day. And what we found was interesting that these are non-sales people. These were just customer service reps, and they were not fielding any additional calls. They were purely answering calls that they would be receiving anyway, and they averaged a 14% upsell rate. So over the course of that first week, they actually 14% of the calls that came in, they resulted in additional revenue for the company. So if you want, Brian, if you want to go ahead and put the next table in, I'll take a look at that.
I actually added both the table and the points for each.
Okay, yeah, let me just go through the points and then I'll explain how this works. So site one saves, that's a saved cancellation that was worth 4 points. That was because that was essentially the most valuable that happened. Save the person from canceling their subscription. And an interesting thing here that some of you might be experiencing is because it was so difficult previously for customers to contact this company and actually get a live person, what was happening was customers were actually going directly to the credit card companies and issuing and instigating a chargeback. And what a lot of people don't realize is that chargeback, depending on who your credit card processor is, can cost as much as $20. So in this case, in many cases, depending on what product it was, the chargeback actually cost more than the person that paid for the product. And so we wanted to provide incentive to reps to definitely save that person from canceling and then also satisfy them so that they wouldn't issue a chargeback. So we created this point system really primarily just to make it easy for people to keep track of and to sort of push some products and push the activity that we felt was most important. And if you look at the second table, reps 1 through 5, and you can see that each of them had a different number of calls and each of them had a different number of points. Rep number 1 won the contest. After a week, they were awarded the $100 with 98 total points. One of the things that we learned from this and that we've actually changed since then, or recommended changing since then, is creating a point system that's based on somehow normalized based on the number of calls that you field. Some of these customer service reps were part-time, and so they didn't have the same opportunity to field calls. Brian, if you want to go ahead and put the next table in there. And this is where, if you refresh your notes, you'll see there's a table in there called projected revenue from the microtest. And what we did here was, there's a couple of things. I won't go into all the assumptions, but essentially, a saved cancellation had a certain value in that there wasn't going to be a refund issued, and we're assuming that a certain percentage of the people would continue on. Each of these have different values, and some of them, like for example, the Site 3 upsell has a real and actual dollar value. But when we added it all up, and these are conservative estimates in terms of upsells and actually cash in the door for the company, total estimated revenue for this 7-day test was $2,341. Now it may not seem like a lot of money, but keep in mind these reps were already sort of paid for in terms of they were there fielding. If you look at that divided by the number of 662 calls, that's $3.54 in revenue per call. Now the key to this is that this is a company that previously, you could go to their website, you'd have a very hard time even finding a phone number or any way to contact them. In fact, the refunds, I believe the refunds are processed by fax and email. That's sort of on purpose. So this was very minimal call volume. There's no 800 number, there's no way to contact them, and yet the revenue per call generated was $3.54. We projected that out over a year, just using the same call volume that we're currently experiencing. $121,732 in additional revenues. So what you need to understand with this, sort of the key point, where we had a team of five people that's formerly just an expense for the company, we're actually able to generate, just by a simple change to the script, in terms of how they were handling the customers, we were able to generate additional $3.54 in new revenue, as well as increase good customer goodwill, which is important. Because now, rather than someone being aggravated over not being able to, they're unsatisfied with the purchase, they can't find anyone to talk to, we're able to, you know, solve their any concerns they might have, hear the problems, and in addition, sell them, in many cases, on additional products. So I want to sort of break down, Brian, if you want to drop the next table in there. And before we get into this next table, maybe just open it up real quickly for any questions, make sure everyone understands exactly what we're doing here, if they have any questions. If you have any questions, just go ahead and say your first name and ask. Okay. The next table, projected profit impact per hour per agent. And if you refresh your notes, you should see the table there. There's a key number here, and when we broke this down, when we first came in and started observing the call center, it was pretty apparent that they were able to handle, they had capacity to handle additional calls. Each of the reps had, in addition to answering the phones, had different duties. Some of them were answering email support. I believe there was a chat support. And also, there are people that were issuing chargebacks, handling refunds, that kind of thing. So, but still, there was, you know, out of five reps, there was definitely, the phone was not ringing nonstop. There was definitely time available. So what it worked out to, in this case, were it was about 1.5 calls per hour, which, if you average it out, is about 40 minutes per call. Obviously, each rep is capable of handling quite a bit more than that. Anyway, under that scenario, 1.5 calls per hour, revenue $3.54 per call. Revenue per hour per agent, in this case, was $5.31. I have the effective hourly rate as zero, simply because these were already employees and they were. They were sort of required to be there to handle basic customer service issues anyway. We have, in the tool we're going to present, you can see there's a place for putting in a cost there for your customer service people. This particular company will probably need to hire additional staff if they do indeed make their phone number more prominent and ramp this up. But essentially what it works out to, the profit per hour is $5.31, and then the revenue per year per agent is $11,000. So it sort of paints it creates a good case for increasing the number of calls, hiring more agents, and actually getting a little bit more aggressive on the upsells and cross-sells. So what we do is, if you refresh your notes again, we made some assumptions that each call, realistically, and this was based on being there and understanding exactly the type of calls, that each call would average, if they were busy, each call was about 4 minutes. And if you take that, divide it into the hour, it's, each rep could actually handle 15 calls per hour. And at $3.54, revenue per hour per agent is $53.10. Again, they're already paid for. These people are already employees. And under this scenario, they need to be there to handle basic support issues. The revenue per year for agents is $110,448.
I apologize, there's a typo in the table. I'll get that fixed.
Oh, yes, I see that. Yeah, so $110,448 should be the number. So, but what we found from this, by increasing the number of calls and offering the call center at full capacity at all times, this business could generate as much as $111,000 profit per year per customer service agent. So, again, going back to sort of where we were at when we started, here's a company that had a lot of customer service issues. They really discouraged people from contacting them, but were curious to see what would happen if we started to open up the phone lines a little bit and actually turn it into more of a profit center. And we found that $111,000 or $110,000 in additional revenue really per customer service rep is very significant, and conclusion was that we should indeed make the phone number more prominent and actually encourage people even during the ordering process to contact these reps. Now, this company was in a unique position because they have a number of products that sort of complement each other, and they have the ability to, the way to avoid a refund or a cancellation, they're able to actually issue an instant credit or offer the service for an additional number of months to give the customer additional time to sort of see the value out of the product. So that's sort of the basic overview of the experiment. We've actually put together Bob Kemper, who is on the line, has put together a spreadsheet, and I wanted him to go through that real briefly. It's a tool that he's developed to evaluate your own situation, and then we can go into some second half of the brief in terms of tips and what we've learned and how to. So I'll let you go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thanks, Jelani. I hope that most of you have gone to URL number 2, the link number 2, and pulled down the customer service tool spreadsheet. Presuming that's done, if you open it up, there is one tab, and the tool was, by the way, to start, not used for this for this particular test, because it was test specific. The intention of this tool was to allow you to do the same types of calculations on a pro forma basis, identifying what the potential is for your customer service change opportunities. And the spreadsheet has some flexibility built in that was not used for the test, and is based on average daily statistics rather than a particular 1 week period. So if you open it up, the columns B and C are the scenario fields. There are two labeled before and after. Each column is complete in itself and allows you to identify a scenario. And the reason why there are two there is to allow you to do multiple pro forma scenarios, or to compare your current customer service costs and environment with any number of different alternatives by changing the input values. The nomenclature, you'll see some usage notes beginning around row 38 or so in column E. There's some usage notes on the procedure for doing a scenario. In order to do a pro forma, you would, the fields in yellow are data entry fields. Those are things that you would enter. And by the way, none of the fields are protected. So, even other fields, if you want to override any of the fields because you know values already that are calculated by the tool, you can just fill them in. But the yellow fields are intended for data entry. The green and the gray fields are calculated by the tool. So there's a scenario currently in there. The hourly customer service representative labor rate is in row 9. It's preset at $10 per hour. You can reset it, of course, to anything. You can use either the unloaded rate, just the raw labor rate, or if you have employee benefits, you can use a loaded rate, include the effective hourly rate with benefits. For the customer service department, average daily hours paid, say you had 5 representatives and who were on for an average of 6-hour shifts, you could change the 40 to 30. 5 reps times 6 hours a day would be 30 hours per day. You would enter the number of calls per day and the average call time in minutes. By the way, the average call time in minutes is not used for the financial piece, but rather for utilization metrics that can help you in your pro forma analysis identifying how fully utilized your representatives already are, and consequently projecting through efficiencies how much headroom you have for gains. The next section is for customer service costs. There are two fields. The first one in row 17 is the daily prize incentive, which was $100 for our test. We did not use a commission-based incentive, but that certainly is an option, so we added that to the tool. I've got it pre-populated at 5%. If we set that to 0, we'll be closer to the test scenario. Moving down to the impact projection section at row 33, the average revenue per call. There is a quick calculator on the right hand side. If we take the test numbers just as an example, we generated $2,300. If you aggregate that to a daily rate, it come out at about $468 per day, and for 662 calls across a week, it come out at about 132 calls a day. So when you'd put 468 in and 132, we come out at $3.53 is what I'm coming out at, rounds to $3.54 for the test. Next item, and that pre-populates, by the way, in the after scenario in row 33. Any quick calc that you do, you can of course type over it, but any quick calculation you do will auto-populate in the after column. Number of business days per month, I've got it set currently at 21. Different months, of course, are different. The average would be 21 to 22 for a typical 5-day-a-week business. There's a section that was not part of the test because it was part of something we were doing with this partner for services, but for a half day training exercise, customer service representative training is in row 43, and you can actually enter any kinds of one-time costs included in an extra row. If you've got facilities costs or other things that you can put on a daily basis for any other one-time costs, you can put it in row 44. We've got in row 48, how many months out? So for projecting the impact over the course of a year, we've got it set at 6 months. You can set that to 12. What calculates out in the green fields, you'll notice that average revenue per day is calculated in row 34. $2,340 per day with these rounded numbers. Now, for your actual business, if you've got a customer service department who are already pretty well utilized, this tool allows you to incorporate your costs. The cost per call I've got at 45 cents before, and then with the additional cost for the changes, I've got a 60 cent per call average cost, and we have $1,000 for one-time training. What I've got is at 12 months a $589,000 in revenue and $101,000 in estimated cost. So with this particular scenario, we've got a essentially 480% ROI. Is that realistic? Only you can say for your own business. The tool is here for you to be able to enter your own information in each of these fields and identify you know, as many scenarios as you want to, what kinds of financial impact you could see in your own business from changes in customer service.
Thanks a lot. This is a very useful tool, and I think as everyone goes into the holiday season, you know, whether you're a retailer or a publisher or you have some other type of business, there's going to be an increase in traffic online, and we always see a, particularly for retailers, we always see a pretty significant increase starting the day after Thanksgiving. And you know, if you look at some of these numbers, and the example that we put together was over $100,000 per customer service rep in additional revenue, you can afford to gather some pretty aggressive incentive programs and actually really provide some fun things for your customer service people. And I'm sure a lot of you have been involved in customer service. It's not the most rewarding position in some cases. You end up taking a lot of views from customers, and I feel like you're not getting very, very far. And this, you know, in addition to generating additional revenue for your company, it can be a good way to sort of change the way that some of these people think about their jobs, and also give them a way, you know, while keeping your costs down, give them a way to really significantly impact their income, which is important to everybody. So there's a couple of things that we've learned from this test and from other tests that we've done, you know, on this subject. And I wanted to share those with you real quickly here before we get off. There's a number of companies out there that are particularly good at this type of thing. One of them that sort of stands out to me is Card Service International. If any of you use Card Service International for credit card processing, or I think they have several other services as well, they really have this process down. They are each call is sort of a valuable opportunity for them to upsell or cross-sell or touch a customer. The other one that sort of comes to mind is I'm a Sprint cell phone subscriber, and every time that I call to check on something or ask a question about my bill, they always have a upsell for me at the end of the call. They ask me, we have a 3-month thing, it's free, I can get you set up on it, and I always sign up for it, and I always forget to cancel it. So it's, you know, they've obviously, and they do have good customer service. I get people there, and I think one of the reasons that works for them is because it turns into additional revenues for them. So the first and probably the most important thing to keep in mind is the incentive plan. And most people are motivated by money. That's in this type of position, that's really what they're looking for. There is definitely a component of sort of winning or being the best at something that's important. And the incentive program that we put together, again, was a $100 bill. They could actually see it, and it was a week-long period. And there's a couple of things that we decided that we would change about that. One is we would make the incentive payout more frequent. because what happened was there was a number of reps that actually sort of pulled ahead, and the other ones got demoralized in terms of they realized they were never going to be able to, over the next few days, they were never going to be able to catch the leaders. And so one of the suggestions that we made was, let's do a daily payout so everybody at the beginning of every day has sort of a fresh start. You can do either a fixed cash bonus. Some people, I think, do things like gift certificates, non-cash items, and it's really a question of what motivates people that are working there. Or you could do a commission type payout, and the commission payout actually allows you to have a lower hourly rate and incent those employees who are able to. The second thing we learned was make the incentives fair to everyone. In this case, some of the reps, like I mentioned before, were not able to, they worked actually about half the time as the other reps. They were only part-time, and so therefore they weren't able to, in terms of points, they weren't able to win the contest, but in terms of percentage of calls or upsells of the percentage of calls, they're actually right up there with the leaders. So, third, if your team is large enough that they require a customer service manager, which most are, the manager should have a separate incentive. In this test, we actually just let everybody, everybody, including the manager, had the same incentive, and the manager actually did a very good job of doing her job as well as participating in the contest. But really, the best way to incentivize the manager is a group, sort of group bonus or volume bonus. Fourth, something that we feel like is important and it's fairly easy to implement is some sort of small non-intrusive bell or something that happens that when someone actually is successful at an upsell or saving an account or something along those lines. In this case, they had a small bell, and it really does a lot to just raise the energy in the room. Again, fielding all of these customer service calls, especially when there are complaints or issues, can be kind of stressful and very negative at the end of the day. You're exhausted from taking all the complaints for the day. And what we found was having that bell, when somebody was successful, sort of motivates the other people, and that's sort of a typical thing that you'd see in any kind of call center, particularly a sales-focused call center. Along the lines of that is something that keeps track so everyone can see where the other people are at. If you want to go as far as having a flat panel monitors that actually show in real time who's winning and how many calls have been made and what percentages are, that would be sort of one extreme. The other extreme is just a whiteboard or something that track every day or every half day is updated. Giving the customer the reason not to cancel. In this case, because it was a subscription product, they're trying to save that recurring revenue. There are a lot of things that people could do here to what they did essentially was extend the trial for free, and the idea being the product was continually improving. And a certain percentage of those people would forget to cancel. It's sort of what happens to me with my Sprint bill. As I sign up for these things and then I'm so busy, I just never remember to cancel it. End up usually paying for 1 or 2 or 3 months of it. So use compelling upsells, and that's important. Don't expect agents to be able to sell additional products if the offers themselves are not attractive and well-targeted to the existing customer base. If you're a retailer, especially during the holiday season, you can really increase your margins by having a small upsell that goes along with the product, gift wrapping, gift cards, gift certificates. Small, additional charges can really be the difference between a profitable sale and unprofitable sale. Any scripts for the customer service, saves, and upsells should continue to be refined and optimized over time. This is very important. I'm sure you all have been on calls with people where you're trying to get a problem solved and they the reps don't deviate from the script no matter what you ask them, and that's very frustrating. I find that very frustrating. Usually just try to bypass the person and get to a manager. We actually got on the phone several times to modify the script and actually field the questions ourselves, really understand. And I think as managers and as marketers, that's important. You don't want to be detached. It's easy to come up with a script that you think will work, but you're really not going to get it perfected until you get on the phone and take feedback from what people are learning. One of the things that's important is customer information should be easily transferred from one product to another. So it's really a function of what system you're using. In this case, there were some issues with having, say, multiple product screens open at the same time. The reps were having to ask for a phone number and email address again, even though it was already in the system somewhere. Just having that type of thing set up and easy for them to use is very important. Once you get this system down in terms of you feel like you're generating a reasonable amount of income per call, the reps are successful, the incentive program is right, that's when you can make the customer service phone number very prominent on the website and email messages. In some cases, you may even look at making the phone number prominent and removing the email support altogether. Email support is, I think good, but if you really take a look at it, in some cases, the email support can overlap with the phone calls and might be better off, at least as a test, to encourage people to call you and see what happens. Finally, your call center could handle additional capacity, and workflow could be streamlined by removing that email support system. So that's something that we don't recommend you start immediately, but as you get a feel for what your peaks are going to be in terms of call volume, what kinds of questions people are asking. I've run into companies out on the web and in different mail order companies where the whole point of that the first sale is to actually get you to call in, to either make a change, cancel your subscription, do something, because once you get that person on the phone, you're able to solve the problem, direct them where you need them directed. There's some real strategy that can go behind that. If you think about it, buying these types of lists and doing outbound calling, which a lot of companies do, can be very expensive, and the fact that you're getting people to call you can be very valuable. So, sort of in conclusion here, we're just about out of time. We'll open it up for questions. Take a look at how many calls you're getting now. What are the type of support inquiries people are making to your company? Do you offer phone ordering? We've done testing in the past that just showing that you have a phone number helps build a sense of credibility with the customer. But one of the most important things that came out of this is that, and it's very difficult to quantify, is these reps are able to turn unhappy customers into happy customers. Rather than sort of being, especially on the web, you have this sort of sense of they're buying from unknown entity, and it's very easy to send an irate email or just call a credit card company and reverse the charge. By allowing them to interface with the company, in most cases it was very easy to turn the customer around, solve their problem, and then introduce them to other products that they might be interested in. The second thing that's important is we help transfer an essentially negative workplace into a place of opportunity. Again, customer service reps, a lot of these people were college kids, or they were people that really having this type of incentive program was a very good thing for them. And it sort of created a positive atmosphere at the company that seems to be standing out to different areas as well. So their job went from, I process cancellations all day long and listens to people's complaints too. I help people get their problems straightened out, and I was able to earn an additional, you know, X number of dollars by simply introducing them to a number of products. So one of the one of the final things that we want to leave you guys with is keep your keeping your mind open for testing opportunities. We initially approached this as how could we reduce the number of cancellations the company was experiencing. How could we decrease the number of customer service inquiries, and it actually turned into what we're going to end up doing is opening up the phone lines, adding capacity, and encouraging people to call. Wouldn't have known that without testing and actually trying. And honestly, it was a sort of politically, it was somewhat of a difficult sale to go in and change some of the ways that people were doing things. There was a lot of resistance initially in terms of people didn't necessarily think that this would work or that would be a good idea or that it would be possible at all. And by testing it and putting together a good script, we're able to generate quite a bit of additional effect. So that was sort of the result of the test. It was interesting. It was definitely interesting for us. We were pleased with the results, and we're going to continue to experiment with different scripts and driving the call volume up. So, Brian, if you want to open up for questions, I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments.
My recurring customers.
Yes, if I'm not sure if someone was asking a question, if they could repeat it. It was sort of breaking up.
Hello.
Yes.
Brian, this is John Coates. I have a question about the original. And you said you had a call center that you worked with that had available time, right? They had a lot to do or nothing to do in between calls?
Yes, essentially they were designed for, they were set up for some peak times that they had, but the majority of the time they were being underutilized.
Okay, in our environment, we keep them pretty busy all the time. They either jump between calls, working mail or email.
Okay.
So the only way we would be able to increase our call time for an upsell would be to increase staff.
Okay.
How was that evaluation?
Basically, the spreadsheet tool that we went through addresses that. It's just in our calculation, because there was additional capacity available, the only difference was we didn't add a cost for the customer service agent. So it was a higher profit at the end of the day. In your case, it would just be as you add additional reps. And the other thing that I would add is I would measure how much does it actually lengthen that call to have the upsell at the end of it? Just another 2 minutes. What does that do to how many people would you need? Anything could be possible, and it may be different for each scenario.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments before we end the call?
Hi, this is Josephine Arminio, Professional Equipment.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. I just want to thank you for, this was very interesting, very informative, and running an inbound call center of about approximately 14 individuals, multitasking, emails, the credit card declines. We're instituting a incentive right now, so this is right up, what we're trying to do is the upsells and cross-sells, because we want to maintain our existing customer base and not having a customer call and then try to get new customers to increase revenue. So this is very interesting to me. I found it very informative and very helpful. I will contact you personally because I would like to know if I can speak further with you on a couple of different scenarios. You have on here on this sheet customer service average daily after call work time hours. What exactly does that mean? And I believe it's line 27 on your Excel sheet.
Yes, the average the after call work time was the difference between the total hours spent, the total customer service representative hours, as related to the average call time, which is in row 14. If you go to the computation, it's the rep hours per day. That's the number. We have pre-populated is 40 hours. I've updated my copy here to 30 hours, 5 reps times 6 hours a day.
I do apologize. You know, I'm sorry. You know what happened? My Excel sheet wrote over each row, so I couldn't see row 14. Now it's very self-explanatory. Thank you.
There are several comments, by the way.
I'm sorry?
There are several comments in many of the input fields. I believe we've got them in all the input fields to try to describe what belongs in there and some hints and tips. And there are a few comments also explaining some of the output fields, the calculated fields that aren't necessarily intuitive.
Well, this was very informative, and I do appreciate this opportunity to sit in on this. I think that I will be using some of your tools, and I will be contacting you. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll actually be releasing the full brief on this, and I appreciate all of the participation today. And if you have any questions at all, or if you have any comments, or if you'd like us to take a look at what you're doing with your customer service team, you can go ahead and email that to editor@marketingexperiments.com. Thank you very much.